UFC Fight Night London takes place at London's O2 Arena this weekend, and I had the chance this week to sit down with the man with the privilege of calling those fights, brand new UFC EMEA commentator, John Gooden.
You're now in the big show.
The big show, yeah.
You're in the big show, calling the fights on Saturday night. Give us potted history, how you've got to be in this position now, because obviously there's an awful lot that would have happened, say, from the last time you called a Cage Warriors event to being here with the UFC, about to call your first UFC event.
This recruitment process, if you
yeah,
like.
Yeah, the timeline of how it's all gone about.
Okay, well, I think that I was speaking with the UFC about a year ago and was trying to find a way in which I could carve myself a career in mixed martial arts, you know, and do some more stuff with the sport and things of that nature. But at that time, although there were lots of changes going on, I don't think that there was enough changes that they were going to be starting to put together their own broadcast team. So the first real opportunity I had was to do the Q&A in Manchester. Gareth Davies has been the obvious candidate for all sorts of media work, and the guy's just pulled in too many directions, you know, he's got so many things to do. So with that comes the opportunity for someone else, and fortunately they remembered me, and so I got to do that, and I really enjoyed it. It was a very interesting gig, but there were some great guests there, you know, Conor McGregor, Michael Bisping.
Just let them talk, then.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and like Dustin Poirier, he's awesome, and Alex Gustafsson. So that was really cool. And after that, we did some stuff with BT Sport. So we did that show, and you know, so then you're all of a sudden you're announced a little bit more to the UFC fans, and because they're a different market, and I realised I knew that before, and I certainly knew that after, just because when you're unfamiliar to people, people don't like change, and they question, and it just goes to show. I'm very proud of my efforts within the UK mixed martial arts scene, and to all intents and purposes on the European level. And when you've been working there for like 3 or 4 years, and people, I don't expect people to know who I am, but for people just to be like, you've come out of nowhere and they just dragged you off the street and put you there, it's like, well, come on, guys.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It was a learning experience in many ways, because it opened me up to the more social media aspects of things, which I hadn't really prepared myself for or considered. I'm not someone that seeks followers and things like that, but I am someone that likes to do a good job,
yeah.
And likes to represent the sport as positively as possible.
Yeah.
And that has been the whole reason why I do what I do, because I didn't see it being represented well when I first started out, as someone that trained, as someone whose circle of friends are guys who live down the gym. You know, these guys need help, and it takes people who are a little bit more encouraged to get involved in media type stuff. And I've harboured those ambitions for many years, so it kind of all weirdly ties together. So when some developments were going on in the UFC office in London, my name was in the mix, and I guess when you're working on the biggest and most active show in Europe, that's going to happen. So I got the call, sat down, had an interview, went really well, and really liked what I was hearing as well. And then after that, we went through the process of screen testing.
Tell us a bit about that, because I kind of know sort of the basics of it, in as much as you and Brad were told you had to avoid the results. You and Dan, sorry, had to avoid the results of certain events. Then you were pulled in and had to commentate as if it was live. Is that right?
Yeah. So we weren't sure which card it was going to be, and then it was discovered that we were going to do the is it the Malaysia card? No, the.
Oh, was it?
It was Safadine versus Lim. So anyway,
Singapore
cast. Yeah. I knew it was one of the two. Mm. Malaysia, because my best mate's Malaysian. I've been winding him up all day. Sorry. So anyway, we had to avoid that, and couldn't really look at the results. But you can't avoid the results. But then I don't think that really mattered. And then I was told that I would be going in, and I would be working with Dan Hardy. I would be working with the outlaw, Dan Hardy. Okay, right.
That's not too shabby.
That's That's pretty weird. I've followed Dan's career all the way through, like most guys from the UK.
Yeah.
I've also listened to some of the other stuff that he does, and you know, he's sounds like he's been on a real journey of self-discovery and things like that, and that's something that resonates with me. And I'm always looking at people who, he's a martial artist, I'm a martial artist, and when people are going out and doing interesting things, I just try and connect with that. So all of a sudden I'm now in the same room as this guy. So that was cool, but you got to keep cool. You can't, you know, just be too much of a fanboy.
Yeah,
we had a job to do, and I turned up and met Dan, and he's just, Dan's so easy to get along with. He's got time for everyone. He's very laid back, but at the same time, very professional, and wants to do things absolutely right.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot, you know, we had no time to kind of warm up, if you like. We actually went down to the BT Sports Studios. I'm not sure if you've been around there. Those rooms are freezing.
Yes.
They're absolutely freezing. My teeth are almost chattering.
Are these the green rooms downstairs?
It was on the same level as where the offices are.
Oh, upstairs?
Yeah, yeah.
I work in
like
one of those.
In like a voice recording booth.
Yeah, well, I'm just along the corridor from those.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you'll know. And it was like a fridge.
Yeah.
But it kept you alive, you know?
I think that's what it is. It's to stop the commentators getting too relaxed and nodding off.
Yeah. So we sat there with the fights playing out in front of us. There was a camera pointing at us as well, and some microphones, and we just called the fight. So I had prepared what I thought was the UFC format for the introductions, so I had that to hand, and then I researched the card like I would any other. As it was a Singapore card, there were a lot of unknowns in there. I think there were like 15 debutants or something. But I'm quite used to that, you know. That's what I do from covering, and you know, when you go back to KO MMA and then Shock and Awe, those guys are grassroots. You know, they might have had a couple of boxing matches but nothing else. So you've really got to make some effort to find out about people. So I'm comfortable with that, and I knew that there were other people in the running, and I knew that I was more comfortable with that process. So I was hoping that would give me a bit of one-upmanship, if you like. So I went in there prepared. We called some fights, and it worked really well. You know, it felt really natural with Dan. Having commentated for like 5 years and been quite active with it as well, it seemed really easy to me. And to have someone like a world titleist sitting next to you, you've got so many ways that you can go. You can ask him on so many different levels, and you're going to get a different answer each time.
And he comes with the experience of having been there at the highest level and having done it.
Exactly that. So it was obvious to me that Dan Hardy was going to be the fixture in that chair. You know, just because I think that he's the right guy on many different levels, but he's also available.
Yeah.
Having him sat there and listening to some of the stuff he was coming out with, I can normally, as someone that's trained and stuff like that, you kind of know where you're trying to lead things, but Dan was just levelling up. And I was like, wow, I didn't think of that. And that's nice, and that's why I think it's going to be great for the new audience to hear that. We're not watering anything down, and if we do make this more accessible, you're going to get even more on another level, because you've got a guy that has literally fought a world title. And he's coached guys in the UFC. He's been in the corner for guys at the UFC, and he's an expert in nutrition and stuff like that. So he's really, really well rounded. You know, he's so qualified for that role, and that makes it really exciting.
So how, in terms of, obviously, and this is going to be part blessing, part curse almost. You're coming in, it's a new commentary team. How different is this format going to be to what we've seen from the American broadcast in the past?
Just language differences, I think.
So the actual nuts and bolts format and staging of it is going to be very similar to what people are used to seeing. It'll just be a European, British slant to commentary.
The UFC product works.
Yeah.
It's tried and tested. Everyone will look to try and copy that. Yeah. I will hold my hands up right now and say, I probably haven't watched a UFC card for the last 4 years without having a pen and paper in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, that for the timings and everything else, it's a well-oiled machine. That was never going to change, and I certainly wouldn't have wanted it to. But there's just some cultural differences. there will be language differences, for example, the way that we articulate certain things. You know, if I'd like to spend my teammates, if you like, in America, Mike Goldberg has a great set of pipes on him, and John Anik has this fantastic pace to his presentation. I don't have either of those. I'm slightly different in the way that I commentate fights and, and my presenting style. So yeah, we're all very different characters, and we're all going to bring our own slant to it. So yeah, I will be fitting around the format. But what we need to, going off track here, that the whole idea of this is to develop things in our region, and for us to be taken seriously in our region, people need to see that we're growing organically as well, you know. And when they see that and they get more familiar, and it's not just an American sport, it's an international sport, because people are still a long way behind, and this is going to help.
You mentioned Mike Goldberg and John Anik. Have you, obviously you've just come back from Vegas about a week ago, did you get a chance to meet and chat with either of those two guys when you were over? Obviously it's a bit of a flying visit,
but. Yeah, exactly. And Mike Goldberg, yes, we met, but he was working that weekend in Manchester. I met with John Anik. We shared a cab ride, actually, to the weigh-ins. The guy is a legend. I'm so grateful to the help and the advice and how positive he's been towards me. And it's really important. I need to get that out there as well, because he didn't need to. You know, I've taken some of his air miles, essentially. But he's been totally cool. I actually dropped him an email when I heard that this was coming up. He followed me back on Twitter. I DM'd. He gave me his email address. I sent him an email and said, look, if you can advise me on the do's and the don'ts, I'd be really grateful. And he got straight back to me, sent me an email. And I mean, that was, everyone's been so kind and supportive.
And that's a guy who will have gone through a similar process that you're going through now, because people are used to seeing Goldie and Rogan.
Yeah.
And then there was another commentary team brought in with, obviously, John and Kenny.
Yeah.
And he would have had that bedding in period and having to cope with the fact that he wasn't the name or the face that people, or the voice that people were used to.
Yeah.
You're now doing that as well.
Yeah.
So obviously having advice from him must be absolute gold for you. Yeah.
And I would guess that he's a massive sympathiser, because he knows what's about to happen. No, I mean, I think that I'm hoping that people enjoy the broadcast.
Yeah.
You know, we're calling mixed martial arts fights. Yes, we have a different accent and stuff like that, but the UFC product is the same. We're putting a different spin on it just by proxy of how we sound, you know. But I'm hoping it's going to be something that people enjoy, obviously.
Yeah.
You know?
And in terms of the actual fight card itself.
Yeah.
Break down the top fights on that main card. I mean, what can people expect? Let's look at Neil Siri versus Brad Pickett first of all.
Okay.
What can people expect? A lot of people will know who Brad Pickett is. Fewer people will know who Neil Siri is. But he's coming in with pedigree for Cage Warriors, and that looks like that's going to be a very exciting fight.
I'm so pleased to see that Neil's got this shot. There's a guy that nearly quit. He nearly quit the game after his fight with Artemi Sitenkov. He just kind of lost interest a little bit, but the rise of Irish mixed martial arts encouraged him to carry on going, and he gathered some momentum. And again, he's had a bad end to the year when Ulysses Gomez pulled out and he didn't get to fight. So it's been frustrating. And now you see a guy that's just an honest mixed martial artist who's been around and fought so many top guys. He knows that Brad Pickett's one of his heroes, you know. He really enjoys his style, and in fact they're very similar in the way they approach fights. So that's going to be a war. I haven't spoken with Brad directly yet, but you know, Brad's had some bedding in time for flyweight. I can't imagine that he hasn't done a few test cuts.
Yeah.
And I think that together those two are going to put on a serious show.
Yeah.
Neil Siri's got nothing to lose. He's full of gratitude, and he's just going to go after it. He said to me, I'm just going to stand in there and bang with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic fight. Let's look at the co-main. Obviously, the Pickett fight, we had a change of opponent with Ian McCall dropping out and Neil Siri coming in. Same story as well with the co-main. Melvin Gillard was due to face Ross Pearson after their first fight in Manchester came to a premature end. Ross sustained an injury in training. Michael Johnson has come over. That gives us a very, very dynamic looking co-main event,
yeah,
even though we don't have that British interest.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a great fight. I mean, there's lots of storylines attached to that as well. Michael Johnson, for me, has come on leaps and bounds. I mean, since he's settled in at the Black Zillions, and the Black Zillions, all told, once it quietened down around them, they've really just surged forward. And he's very much been a product of that. And we've seen his fight style evolve from when he was in a tough house, maybe playing it safe, to being one of the... I think he scored the second most knockdowns in the lightweight division. Yeah. And guess who scored the most? Melvin Gillard.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got two guys that are terribly dangerous. Gillard is inconsistent. What's interesting for me is how Johnson and Gillard, they trained together for about a year, and Johnson's put his name down. I mean, he wanted to fight anyone.
Mm.
He was trying to get a fight with Khabib as well.
Yeah.
So he's a gamer, man, really is. And he's put his name down to fight an old teammate who is more experienced than him. He knows something that we don't.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to put yourself in that situation if you don't genuinely believe you're going to win, especially when you're on the fringes of the top 10.
And then obviously we've got, after those two fights, which look like hugely entertaining sort of slugfest, we've then got the main event.
Yeah.
Alexander Gustafsson against Jimmy Manoa. Now, a lot of people who I've spoken to thought Alex Gustafsson beat John Jones. It was a very, very close fight at the time. I spoke with Jimmy earlier this afternoon. He thought that John Jones won it, but only just. But he told me that he wouldn't have been happy with the performance that Gustafsson put in, because he thinks he could have finished John Jones in that fight.
Okay.
So this is a guy with an enormous amount of confidence in his own ability going in a fight for the first time where he's the underdog. He's never been an underdog for a fight before, Jim.
Mm.
How does he stack up against a very well-rounded Swede in Alex Gustafsson?
Something that I'm probably going to be putting into the commentary is you're only as good as your last bout, right? So that makes Alex Gustafsson top of the tree, you know. He's going to be riding high. Jimmy Manua is... We still have a lot of unanswered questions about him, you know, and that's not his fault. You can only go as... You can only beat the people that are put in front of you, and he's kicked and punched people to the point where their bodies have given up. You know, and you know, they haven't always been a fairy tale ending, and not always what the fans want to see, but he's won those fights, and he was never in trouble in those fights. He has a style of fighting that has been adapted very well for mixed martial arts. You know, just the way that he kicks is an adapted Thai kick. I want to speak to his coaches about that, but he seems to... It's the way that the use of his knees. So it's just everything is very, very calculated.
Yeah.
Jimmy Manua has the mental strength to be able to deal with this main event. And what's he got to lose? You know, he's got nothing to lose apart from his perfect record. But I mean, how many mixed martial artists at the highest level have a perfect record?
Very few. Yeah.
So, I think there's a lot of pressure on Gustafsson, not just to beat Jimmy, but if you want to be deemed as the best of the division, you've got to go out and win convincingly.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to win convincingly against Jimmy Manua? I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be good fun finding out.
Absolutely.
So Saturday night live coverage is going to kick off on BT Sport online and on the app from 5:30 with the prelims.
Right.
And then the main card will be live from 7:30 on BT Sport 1. We're going to show every fight live. So every single British fighter on the card, you'll get to see live. If you've got a BT subscription, you can watch the lot. So it's going to be fantastic. Final thing from you. Someone who may be tuning in for the first time, what can they expect from this UFC event? Whether they've seen a UFC event before or whether they've seen a smaller event, they're coming up, massive event at the O2. What can people expect on Saturday night?
You're going to see front to back guys that are really well-established guys at the highest level of the game, and guys that are just finding their feet at this elite level, and everything in between. So we've got a lot of homegrown talent, and they're going to be fueled by a sellout crowd. This sold out in record time. They've had to create more seats. The atmosphere at the O2 is going to be something, you know, I'm so excited for that. I don't know how I'm going to feel walking out to that, but we'll find out. So, but yeah, there's a lot of excitement around this event, and the results are very, very important on very many levels. They're going to see people who have competed on the Ultimate Fighter Series, graduates of that, guys that are still trying to establish themselves. So there's a lot of hungry guys out there, and guys that really are still trying to find their feet in their mixed martial arts career, but in the, at the highest level. And that's really exciting.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks very much, John, and I hope it all goes swimmingly for you on the night.
Thank you very much.